Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fat Loss Simplified podcast, where we teach you how you can lose 20 or more pounds of fat, heal your relationship with food, and be proud of what you see in the mirror without obsessing over food choices, spending hours in the gym, or giving up your social life. And today I'm really excited to deliver a fascinating conversation that I had with a fellow coach, Coach Claire, and we talk about how to help perimenopausal and menopausal women work smarter instead of harder. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind you of some opportunities that we have available for you here at the show. Number one, if you're not already subscribed, make sure to either subscribe or follow the podcast, because that is the only way to guarantee that you get all of the fat loss simplified information that we put out in the future, as well as it also helps us to grow the show and help other people find the type of information that we are providing. And so if you want to help somebody else at absolutely no cost to you, go ahead and hit subscribe or follow. In addition to that, if you're listening along and thinking to yourself, you know what? I really could use some help when it comes to figuring out the fat loss puzzle for myself. I've tried all the HIIT training workouts. I've tried to restrict my calories. I've done all these things and I'm just not getting to where I want to be. Then go ahead, look in the show notes below, schedule your free lifestyle audit. The free lifestyle audit is just a low pressure time for us to have a conversation, see what things you've tried in the past, what has and hasn't worked for you, so that we can put together a custom blueprint just for you so that you can start looking and feeling your best today. And lastly, since we have a special guest today, there's a couple extra links in the show notes below. Number one is Coach Claire's resource, 5 Steps to Fat Loss in Perimenopause and Menopause. If that applies to you and you're looking for that type of guidance, there is that free guide down in the show notes, as well as some opportunities to connect with her on social media so that you can ask her any additional questions that you might have. Now, with all that being said, let's get right into the show. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Fat Loss Simplified podcast. And as I mentioned in the introduction, we have a special guest with us today, Claire. And Claire is a coach. She's been in the industry, in the fitness and nutrition industry, for quite some time and has gone through many adaptations of her business and business model, and part of which I'm sure she'll share today. But Claire spends a lot of time focusing on teaching perimenopausal and menopausal women how to navigate that transition in life. And that is a profound transition. There's a lot of things going on in a woman's body during that time of life and a lot of questions that arise during that time. And so excited to have this conversation with her today. And as we get started here, Claire, you know, most coaches get into being coaches because they went through something or they experienced helping somebody else. There was some moment in their life where they're like, you know, I can really make a difference here. And I am always interested to hear that story and to hear what it is that got you into coaching. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing your fitness journey and what makes you so passionate about what you do and the women that you serve today.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Bryce, I just want to thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it and appreciate the listeners popping in and checking this out. And I hope I can bring some value to your life today and hopefully you learn something and kind of walk away from this with that little nugget that you can implement into your life. That's kind of my goal for today as well. So just a little bit about me, kind of my background. I actually really wish I had one of those cool aha moments where, you know, I had lost, you know, 100 pounds or I helped someone overcome this adverse moment in life that made the you know, my brain click over. I didn't, however, but my story really kind of tracks back to high school being an athletic trainer. And I weirdly fell in love with learning anatomy. And I kind of equate it to how an accountant sees numbers. I'm not good with the numbers, but how an accountant sees numbers and they just click, they make sense. They see them in their brain. That's how the human body, the anatomy, the digestive system, the hormone system, how everything kind of works together. It just clicks. It makes sense in my brain. And so I really dove into learning more about the human body and its functionality. I originally was going to school for occupational therapy. I'm from Louisiana. And after the hurricane Rita and Katrina, my program was cut from the university. And I just took a hard pivot. I moved here to Austin, Texas, and I'm still here almost 18 years later, which is crazy. And after graduation, I was trying to figure out my grad school path. And I knew I wanted to keep my brain in that same and just in the up and up. I wanted to keep up with the research. I wanted to be in the know of what was coming out. And I've always worked out through high school and I played sports and whatnot. And so I wanted to stay on the up and up of things. And so I honestly got my training certification so that I could keep my brain fresh in the interim between school and graduation and grad school. And long story short, I ended up not going to grad school and I don't think twice about that. I'm glad about it. And I have since then worked in every facet of training that you can imagine, from group X classes, big box gym training. I trained boot camps in a park. People have come to my garage. I've gone to their homes. You know, my car was a traveling, you know, gym basically. Yeah. And I feel like I've done all these different aspects of training. And I would take on literally any person, man, woman, age, didn't matter, gender, right? You name it, I've trained them. And through that, I got a lot of reps in, no pun intended, in learning how to work with people. And really, it has taken that. I mean, I started in this industry 15 plus years ago. And so you fast forward to today, I've had a lot of years of figuring out the type of people that work the best with me and vice versa. I believe coaching is a partnership. It's not a, you know, drill sergeant type of thing. Some people may want that. That's just not my philosophy. But I believe that partnership is super important. And so making sure the person you're working with, it makes sense on both sides, right?
Yeah.
So really fast forward to like the last maybe 7 years or so, the company I was working with afforded me the ability to work with an even larger, diverse group of people during the pandemic, because we were able to pull our entire company online. We taught outdoor group classes. It was personal training in an outdoor group setting. Pandemic hit and we had to pivot our entire business model to online. And I was able to now train and connect with men and women all over the world. I mean, I had people jumping in from other countries. I'm like, this is amazing. And so understanding, just being able to have that kind of reach to people was really, really cool. And what I found along the way is I really started connecting with women in their 40s or so. And the conversations I was having with them, they're just frustrated, feeling hopeless, just overwhelmed by what was in the media, especially during that time, because you couldn't be in person. So all of the information they were receiving was media content in some, yeah, you know, some way. And I just kept hearing time and time again, like, oh, it's just my hormones. Oh, it's just age. It is what it is. And it was always wrapped in this, you know, chalking it up to the, you know, I'm just getting older, and almost like this give up sense. Yeah. And the more I spoke with them, those who wanted to share, they didn't want to give up. They didn't want to feel hopeless. They didn't want to feel this, like, it just is what it is. And they remember times when, like, man, I remember like when my husband and I first started dating, he would go, you know, hike mountains, you know, or whatever. Like, they were active and they did things. And so to see themselves now, it's like they don't even recognize themselves in the mirror. And I had a conversation, I remember, with some ladies one day. They were chatting about like looking in the mirror, and one lady goes, I haven't looked at myself in the mirror in 20 years or 10 years or something, you know, crazy. And I'm thinking, what, like
20 years?
Yeah, even when you get out of the shower, like, what? She's like, oh, I can't tell you the last time I looked at myself naked in front of a mirror. Like, I do my makeup or my hair, but I fully clothe myself before I stand in front of a mirror. And I just thought, man, like, it hurt my heart. And I'm going to try not to get teary, but it hurt my heart to imagine that these strong women who have birthed babies or have, you know, had an entire professional career and, you know, climbed a ladder in corporate, whatever, won't even stand to look at themselves in the mirror because they don't like what they see and they're frustrated. And I kept having conversations with women like this. And so it became my passion to, yeah, really start learning more about this aging stage. Aging, I mean, we're all aging, but that 40 plus and onward phase of life, I personally know that my whole life, I've always told myself I'm not going to be one of those women that ages and like gives up, you know? And I knew that willingness to not give up was ingrained in me. But then I started talking to these women, they like, yeah, I used to be that way. And then my body started changing and I didn't know what the heck to do with it. And so I dove into learning as much as I could about female hormones and perimenopause, menopause, just the stage of life. And so my goal really now is to just empower as many women as possible to conquer this next stage of life and it not be a deafness, so to say, and giving them that confidence to look in the mirror, to see that inner, what I call their inner badass. It's like we all have like that little inner fire in us without having to resort to, you know, being overwhelmed by the media or eating more low calorie or doing more exercise. So really just teaching them how to work with their bodies at this stage of life and how it looks different than maybe what they were used to in the past. So
yeah,
what brings us to here?
No, that's awesome. And there's a couple of things in your story that I really resonate with in that, you know, similar to you, like I don't really have that, like I lost 150 pounds kind of story. I have a story where like you, well, I'm not sure if this is a similar experience to you, but the reason why I decided to become a coach is really because at first I wanted to fix things that were going on with me. And I didn't understand what was going on with me. And it goes back to my college days where I remember looking in the mirror and thinking to myself, that's not really what I want to see because my body fat percentage was way out of whack. And then going back to what you said about, you know, the lies that were fed about how to get into shape from the media. And back then I was running miles every single day and eating like salads and like just still not seeing the change that I wanted to see. And my story, it's not very like marketable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But my story is kind of when I started to figure it out, it was because I joined the gym with my brother and there's this older guy there. And he basically saw us and was like, you guys don't know what you're doing. So this is me in like my early 20s. But he was training his son there. And every day we would go to the gym and he would like teach us something new. And I began to see the changes that I wanted to see in the mirror. And this is why I say it's not marketable. And for over a year, my weight did not change. It stayed exactly the same. But my pant size went from like a 36 to like a 31 within that year. And a lot of people, you know, they are just so married to the scale or married to the idea of getting back to a certain like high school weight or whatever. And the reality is you can look drastically different and your weight on the scale not change at all. And that was one of those cool things when that switch in my brain kind of went off. So this was probably 12 years ago. I then got my first personal training certification because I was like, you know what, this is just fascinating to me about how this could happen and kind of went down a similar path as you in ending up to where I am today. But that was kind of my story. So I connect with that in that it's not like I lost 300 pounds. I kind of lost 0 pounds, but changed my body composition over a long period of time. And that's really cool. And I wish that it was an easier way to like communicate that to people that can be the reality, but
it's hard to communicate it. So let me ask you this. If you had not experienced it, would you have got it? Right. And so I think that's where this, like, don't tell me, show me thing really impacts people's lives when they actually experience it. Now, the challenge sometimes is to get someone to that place where they're actually like willing, able, and ready to take on that change. They may want it. They may think they want it, but they aren't quite willing, or maybe they're not quite ready to get to that place. And that's okay. Like if you're listening right now and you're like, I want that. I don't know. Like that's okay. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't have any shame or guilt around that. Like if and when that day comes for you, know that there's support out there, whether it's he or I or someone else, like know that there is support for you, but it's that you'd have to experience it. You gotta actually experience it to really like understand it.
Yep. And that's why coaching is so valuable, I think, because you have somebody that can cheer you on and is in your corner. And when those doubts arise in your minds, like, hey, my weight's not changing on the scale, to have somebody just reinforce for you, that's okay because all these other things are changing. Right. And you're wearing different dress size or jean size or whatever it is. Yeah, you're sleeping.
Like, let's go there. Like, that alone is, the fact that you can actually sleep well and rested and feel rested in the morning is massive.
Yeah. you're less angry with your kids, you know, all those things.
Yeah. Depends on the kid. But yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, kind of. But but you mentioned that you arrived at a place where you really felt that you were kind of called, that you really resonated with these women who were getting into their 40s and just kind of arriving at a place where they were like, you know what? I think this is just is what it is. And there's not much that I can do about it. I really resonate with that because I remember that moment for me as I was going to run, you know, 3 miles for the day, knowing that I hated it, also knowing that I wasn't where I wanted to be and that I probably wasn't going to get there, but still feeling trapped, right? Because I didn't want to stop running because I felt at the time that if I did, that things would get worse. And for me, being a college-age male at the time, because that experience was like back in 2008, which I guess was like 16 years ago, that experience is going to be drastically different for me than it would be for a woman in their 40s. So when you're thinking about a woman in her 40s who is going through all these life changes, what are some of the challenges that she faces? And what can she do in order to start looking and feeling her best today?
Sure. So hormonal fluctuations is obviously at the forefront of that. Our bodies are shifting. They are changing. The big one is that as women age, we are losing our estrogen levels. Our estrogen, they're decreasing as we continue to age. It's just a part of life. So hormonal fluctuations is a really big one. Mood swings. They tend to feel, look, as ladies, I get it. Like, we can have our mood swings, especially maybe that time of the month or whatever, but they feel as we start to age, especially closer to that 45, 50 and onward, they feel like this massive fluctuation, like this, these super highs and these super lows. They just feel, you almost feel like you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And so you're not alone. If you're listening to this, you're not alone. That's very normal. I don't like the word normal. It's very common, but it doesn't have to be normal. And so, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but lack of energy, sleepless nights, hot flashes are kicking in, maybe low sex drive, weight gain, especially around the midsection, kind of under the diaphragm area, is really big as well. Insulin resistant, they can become much more insulin resistant. Muscle loss is a huge thing. Type 2 diabetes is actually very common between 51 and 59 years of age for women. And then even cardiovascular disease. And so the cardiovascular disease side of it is coming from the weight gain, fatty liver, and so on and so forth. And so as our estrogen levels are decreasing with age, right, we lose that stress like cushion. It's like this protective padding around dealing with stress. That's what estrogen is for us.
Yeah. So
because we're losing that cushion, that buffer, what we're seeing is our inability to handle normal stresses in life in our normal capacity. We tend to get a lot more irritated. Things rub us the wrong way a lot more quickly than they used to. So if you feel like you're flying off the handle with your kids, then you're thinking later, like, all he did was pick up his fork the wrong way. I don't know, whatever, you know?
And yeah, something small, whatever that is.
Very small, right. And the mood swings feel like massive. All of these things, like, it all kicks back to cortisol. So our cortisol is a stress hormone, right? And it's as it elevates and we're not doing anything to bring it back down, to lower those cortisol responses in the body, we tend to stay in this fight or flight place. And so fight or flight is great if you're trying to fight something or flight from something. It shouldn't be just when we're in our day-to-day life at work or handling the kids or, you know, whatever, normal day-to-day life. And it really shouldn't be at this high place when we're trying to go to sleep at night. And that is a big piece that they're experiencing. And so I kind of mentioned about, you know, sleep and how important it was earlier. Like, if you're not sleeping and you're trying to quote unquote lose weight, if you're not sleeping, you're not going to move any at all. No way, no how. You have to get the sleep piece of it down before the body's going to even contemplate the idea of getting rid of extra weight. Right now, if you're not sleeping, it's like, hey, that's a survival mechanism. We need that, just like food and water. So I won't dive into that too deep, but I'm really passionate about it. But if you're really just want to take like a handful of, like, grab a pen and paper, here are some steps you can take right now that no matter where you are on your journey, any of these adding in kind of touching, making sure you're like on the mark with will be beneficial. So first one is eating enough calories and not under eating. And I could literally spend an entire hour talking about this and I won't. I'm just going to say one thing and I promise I'm going to. As women, the media, we tend to hear like, move more, eat less. Like you have to, you know, you got to eat less. You got to eat salads all the time. Look, if you don't like salads, don't eat salads. If you're in a diet, don't do it. Like you're going to make yourself miserable because guess what? You're not going to stick to salads when you're quote unquote not in a diet anymore, right?
Yep.
And you're probably, no offense, you're probably under eating all week and then over freaking eating all weekend. Like, let's be honest. It's a spin cycle that we tend to kind of jump on.
Yeah, that's so, way too common.
Very common. And the whole eating enough calories, you would be surprised at how many women I work with. I actually work best with women who, when they come to me, I have them track their food for about a week or two. And most of them are under eating, under 1600 calories easily. And medically, 1600 calories is considered low cal, like medically low calorie. Yeah. And so there, you know, you put your stuff into MyFitnessPal and it says like, oh, you need 1200 calories for the day. Wrong. That's not okay. That's not even survival enough for your body. So eating enough calories is very, very important. If you don't know how to calculate that, like feel free to reach out to me. I'm sure, or even Bryce, like we can calculate those numbers for you to make sure that you're in the right place. And then two is eating high fiber carbohydrates and veggies, really focusing on actually eating what I consider like big, like good bang for your buck carbohydrates.
Yeah.
You're looking at whole grains, you're looking at like, you know, potatoes, oatmeal, you know, starchy carbohydrates, like in the veggie world, your root veggies, your green beans, your, you know, cauliflower, that kind of thing are going to be really beneficial. The average woman needs about 25 to 30 grams of fiber in their day. So start tracking that to see how much fiber you're getting in general. And be very careful as you increase, especially if you're low in the fiber world, increase it by about 2 to 3 grams of fiber a day, or even over the course of a few days to build up to it. Just trust me on that. You don't want to.
Yeah. The digestive discomfort that would come with that to put it in mildly, right?
Exactly. You can also cause a lot of bloating. And then gosh, here you are like, I'm eating more veggies. Now I'm gaining weight. No, honey, you're not. You're just holding on to excess water weight.
Yep.
Have ingested way too much fiber. Protein. This is an important one. I know y'all hear it all the time, so don't turn your ears off to it. It's extremely, extremely important if you're above that, you know, 45, 40 range and onward. Aiming for about 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight up to about 140 grams. That's a good necessity amount, up to 140 grams. We really don't need a whole lot excess of that unless you are 55 and deciding to become a competitive bodybuilder all of a sudden. don't need that in excess, just FYI. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but as estrogen decreases as we're aging, we struggle to gain and maintain muscle mass because estrogen is what we call an anabolic hormone. It's a building hormone. And it helps us, that's what helps us to build muscle. Of course, testosterone is a big piece of that. But if you combine that with some women who are actually too low in testosterone, man, it makes it even harder for them to maintain or build muscle. It's not impossible. It's definitely harder. And so maintaining a consistent protein intake really can help tremendously. Shifting exercise focus away from like 5 days of HIIT training and or long runs every day to 3 to 4 days of really focused strength training, slowing the movements down. Taking longer rests between sets, you're looking at like, you know, 90 seconds to 2 minutes at least between doing your sets, really allowing the body that a lot more recovery. And then, you know, the HIIT training, you know, you'll hear varying things out there. Like HIIT is great for perimenopause and menopause. Yes, and it depends. That's my favorite statement, right? And it depends. Because if your body is not, if you're not sleeping well, okay, and you're under eating and you're throwing HIIT into the mix, yeah, that's not a good combination. However, if you're dialed in, you've got like 8-9 solid hours of sleep, like you feel good when you wake up, you have fed yourself well, like you're eating at a good maintenance calorie number, and you want to throw in a HIIT workout here and there, girl, go for it. If it feels good, go for it. When you're pushing yourself to get in, you know, well, HIIT is what worked when I was 20 or 30, that must be what I need to do. Unfortunately, we have to train our bodies differently now. Doesn't mean you have to nix the training altogether or your runs altogether. Just be smart about when you're including or when you're adding them in. And then the last couple is prioritizing sleep. I know I've talked about that, but I'm going to combine it kind of with the exercise piece. If you're pushing your body to do 5 a.m. workouts every single day when you're already not sleeping, you're not going to get to your goals. And so just be very mindful of that. If you're like, the only time I have to work out is 5 a.m. I cannot do it any other time of the day, then backtrack your day the day before. Set yourself up for success to ensure that you're getting good sleep. You've got your stuff ready, move, whatever. And you actually feel rested before going to that workout. Because if not, you're going to take one step forward and two steps back, especially at this phase of life. And the pre and post food timing is really important too. So you do want to make sure you're eating, I'm not going to go into all of the options, but I'm going to give one option. Pre-workout is a good, it's kind of quick grabbing carbohydrate about 30 minutes or so before your workout. It could even be a piece of fruit or a slice of toast, something that's easy enough for the body to like grab onto to utilize during that workout. And then make sure that you have your carbs and protein after your workout. So really sandwiching your workout, it will help with recovery, especially having carbohydrate post-workout. It brings your cortisol levels back down, which we have elevated in the workout, right? That's a normal response. And there's many other things that we can take into consideration, but these are a good starting point for any women who are maybe feeling the beginning frustrations or already frustrations of perimenopause or even into menopause. And so these are some like really simple go-tos that you can start incorporating now. Oh, I forgot to mention one of my favorites for sleep is about 30 minutes before bed. And whether you're, tracking your calories, whatever, if you take a slow digesting carbohydrate, something like popcorn is my favorite, or a small thing of oatmeal, maybe with some cinnamon and maybe a couple blueberries in there, about 30 minutes before bed. Carbohydrates, why they're so important for us, especially at this stage, they will actually lower and bring down those cortisol levels so that you will slip into that sleep place. It helps with all of the sleep hormones, your, melatonin, in all the things in the system that help you go into that more rest place. It will work. So try that.
Yeah. And no, those are awesome and great suggestions. And especially with the sleep, because so many people in America, because we are taught with almost everything. And this is especially true when it comes to women, I think, because women often are doing double duty. They are building their careers and they're also super focused on building a life for their kids. And both of those things are a lot of work. And if you don't match your stress to your recovery, you're kind of going to be in big trouble. And in American culture, we kind of idolize hustle, work more, sleep less, and just do more stuff. And when it comes to your health, that's just not going to get you anywhere. And
especially for women at this stage, especially look, I'm the epitome of in my 20s and 30s hustle mentality, little sleep. I prided myself on like four and a half to five hours of sleep, like golden. And then I would work a stupid lengthy day and then rinse and repeat it. And I had all the energy in the world. Well, guess what? I can't fight against it anymore. Like things are shifting and changing and recognizing that shift and change. And not butting up against it, but embracing it and saying, okay, how can I support myself now at this stage of life versus trying to be my 20-year-old self? I'm not my 20-year-old self. It just is what it is. And that's okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I remember now, again, I am not like even a woman, but I had a similar experience in my early 20s. So this was around 2012. And I had done, and I don't know if you're familiar with this program, however, you probably are because it's pretty popular, but I had done the Insanity HIIT workout.
Oh yeah, hon.
I dropped 30 pounds in 60 days, but it was not sustainable. And after that, because of exactly what you talked about, I was also at the same time a school teacher working 80 hours a week because I had like 6 preps that I had to do, in addition to grading after school. And for those of you that are teachers out there, you understand that life in that you work all day with the kids, but then you have to actually do the work of preparing for the next day, grading all the stuff they did during the day. All that stuff accumulates to about 80 hours a week. And so I was working 80 hours a week, not sleeping, and then piling HIIT on top of it while also trying to put myself in a caloric deficit. And I will tell you, it was kind of a disaster because even though I did lose weight on the scale, when I stopped doing all that stuff, man, the rapid regain of that weight was just unreal. And then the mentality, right, is, well, I did this thing before and it worked. So you go back and it's less effective the second time because your body knows, I know what's happening here. And it's protecting itself from that stress. So I understand exactly what you're talking about.
You nailed it. And so I have this conversation all the time with ladies who are like, you know, because they ask them, what are you doing? What are you doing for movement? What are you doing, you know, food-wise, whatever? And so often they're like, well, so Weight Watchers worked really well for me. And look, anything I bring up, either of us bring up, like we're not mixing, we're not like being negative towards it. Just the real conversation. You know, I did Weight Watchers. So like I started doing that again because that worked really well, you know, when I was, you know, mid-30s or whatever. And I will inevitably ask, you know, well, how is that working for you? And they're like, well, it's not, you know. Yeah. And same thing with exercise. Well, I, you know, I went back to, you know, Orange Theory because I was doing that, you know, 10 years ago and it, or whatever, or boot camps or whatever. And they're like, I can't do it at the level that I used to. And so I don't feel like I'm getting as much out of it because their body doesn't feel completely beat up afterwards because maybe they're not jumping because now they have a knee thing or, you know. And so it's really knowing how to shift the mindset around, okay, maybe I've got to do something different. And that's hard. It's hard because you know that something has worked in the past. I'll be honest, I've had thoughts in the last few years when I've struggled personally as my hormones and things are shifting. I was a bodybuilder years ago. And so I'm like, okay, remember the what I was eating on those days when I was training? I could picture every single thing. You know, I was cooking 6 meals a day. I'm like, well, maybe if I go back to that. However, it was pretty much no carbohydrates, barely. And I know that will just send me into like a tailspin. So, but I know that because in this field where I'm learning and researching and understanding the science behind it, whereas a lot of most average person out there, it's overwhelming. There's no way for them to know what's right, you know? And so again, I'm on a mission to like get this information out there and help as many women as possible. So that's good point though.
A lot of times women have to deal with those mindset shifts because they've been force-fed like all these lies. And I don't think that those lies are intentional. You know, like we've already mentioned, any program or anything that we mention is just based around our experience with that thing. But I don't think that any of those things start out as lies, but I think that the science moves and these programs have not moved with the science. So what are some of the, like the old things that we could classify as lies, right? That have turned out to not be true, that women have kind of been force-fed over the years and that, hey, these are the things that women in their 40s really should avoid, that they should not listen to XYZ and that they would see a great benefit from avoiding those things.
Sure. And I want to kind of note that I don't want to say, you know, some of these other programs, whether it's exercise programs or, you know, food, diet, whatever. Look, at the end of the day, things in our life are there for a reason, a season in our life, right? Do I feel like restrictive dieting and certain workout programs should be a lifetime? Probably not, because our bodies do, like you said, the science changes, right? Our bodies also physically, hormonally change.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what worked at one phase of life may not work for you now, but it may work for your daughter or your son. Okay, cool. Like not to put those things in a negative box either, because it may be a positive season for someone else at that point in their life. But what we're specifically talking about is women over that, you know, 40 plus age, 45 and onward age, and what we're maybe still being fed from media or what we believe from past information. Yeah. And that is to do more exercise, do more cardio, and then eat less and to cut out what I don't even like calling bad foods. And I say it with quotations because I don't think any food could be deemed bad or good necessarily. Food is food. It's a kilocalorie, right? It is an energy source. And so the lie, I feel like, that a lot of women maybe are still living under the pretense of is like, I need to move more. I'm not doing enough. And I need to eat less. I'm not, you know, I'm not in a calorie deficit. And so most of the women that come to me have been under eating for years, and they've been living in this vicious cycle of what I call the sprint and puke method, where they maybe take on, you know, a diet for a couple of months hardcore. They're restricting everything that they enjoy in life. There's no wine, there's no pizza, there's no sushi. I don't know, like all the things they enjoy. They're restricting themselves so much that they then on the other side of it gain all that weight back, and most of the time a lot more than, right? And then they're like, well, I gotta do the thing again because I'm not where I want to be again. Like, I know what works the first time. Okay, now I'm gonna restrict myself and starve myself again and do more cardio, da da da. And this vicious cycle. Here's the crazy thing, and I'm sure if you are someone listening right now and you're like, yep, that's me, here's the thing. You've probably noticed the more you've done it, the less effective it's become. It's your body is like you said a minute ago, it's going, whoa, 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 hang on. I know this drill. I'm not gonna fall prey to that again, right? The body goes into this place of almost survival mechanism when we start, you know, pushing it to those limits that it's not meant to be pushed to, and not supporting it well. And so, you know, what may have worked temporarily in your 20s and 30s and so it's not going to work now. And so that to me is the biggest, and it's not really even a lie. It's just like misconception. Okay. All right. Well, what worked then definitely isn't going to work now. Now I need to move forward and figure out what that looks like. And
yeah,
some good tips on that.
Yeah, exactly. And I had to laugh when you said the sprint and puke method, and here's why. Because I mentioned a few minutes ago my experience with the Insanity workout, and the way my mind was working at the time was this. The first day I did it, I actually did throw up from sprinting. And
high knees in place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, because, you know, like most people who are in the mental frame that I was at the time, you know, you're working 80 hours a week, everything in your life is go, go, go. And everything in your life is push it as hard as you possibly can. And so that's what I did. And after I literally threw up in my front yard, I thought to myself, I've got to stick this thing out because I've got to force myself into this box that I don't know why I wanted to be in it, but I guess I thought like, this is an intense thing. And if I force myself to do it intensely, then that must mean that I'm going to get in insane shape. And the reality was that I lost a ton of muscle and regained all the weight later and didn't really get anywhere, and also puked in my front yard, which was not a positive experience. But I thought that was funny that you literally nailed it right on the head.
I'm a workout DVD junkie. Actually, I'm gonna rephrase that. I started back in the VHS world with Billy Blanks. That was my like original. I ordered I think you had to call toll free to order.
Yeah. He was the kickboxing guy, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's my boy. I have so many DVDs and VHSs of workout things over the years. So if Beachbody has put it out, I probably own it in some way, shape, or form. So I'm very familiar with Insanity and the insane workout, but I loved them at that phase of my life. If I attempted to do that now, no, not a chance.
Oh yeah. It'd be a disaster for me too. Like my back could be all out of whack. But you know, when it comes to women in particular, women often seem to be very focused on being smaller, but how would you go about encouraging women to, instead of being focused on being smaller, to focus on overall health and performance? Because I find that the irony of trying to be smaller is that the more you try to be smaller, the more you end up losing muscle mass and the harder it gets to maintain. And when women reframe that into the mindset of, you know what, I'm going to forget about trying to be smaller and instead focus on, well, how can I sleep better? How can I improve my mood? How can I get stronger? And use the food that I'm eating to build myself up rather than depriving myself and literally tearing myself down. What are some ways that you have found is just a really effective way to communicate that and be of help to women?
Yeah, the whole looking smaller, being smaller mindset, that I do think that is more so on its way out than in, more so. I'm not saying it is gone. I feel like it's probably going to be around forever.
Yep.
Unfortunately, media outlets for decades have pushed that agenda. I mean, even, you know, backtracking to the days of like cigarette ads, you know, like these women with like corsets on that were really small. And, you know, it was this visual stimulation of this is how the woman is supposed to look. And I think the shift has occurred in the last several years, especially with, you know, Dove commercials are always one of the things I think of, and their like body image commercials and how they always incorporate all sizes of women. And I love that. I think the embracing of that is amazing. And then even to like, you know, Lizzo and her, you know, how she campaigns about body image and, you know, loving the skin you're in and whatnot. But because as women, it's been so ingrained in our minds, like even though we see those commercials or we hear Lizzo or whoever like talk about these things, there's still this underlying sense of like, yeah, but that's not me. I don't want to be okay larger than where my brain feels like I should, right? So a lot of it, it's definitely the narrative that we maybe grew up with. So if you're looking at maybe thinking about, especially women, the conversations you had with your mom, like not even just with her, but hearing her growing up, was your mom someone who was always maybe struggling with weight? And always talking about, oh, no, I can't eat that. Or, that's not my diet or that kind of thing. If you heard that all your life, look, don't go call your mom and be like, mom, you screwed me up. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But if you can recognize maybe where it came from, where did that, you know, the mindset around that start? Or maybe it was, you know, I don't know, maybe with a group of friends or whatever. If you can understand maybe where it started and start developing ways of not taking away the negative thoughts, because look, it's going to happen. But instead, think about adding in positive components to move you in the direction of stronger, of sleeping better, of, you know, having more energy. What are some of those things that, you know, that we actually talked about a little while ago, but maybe it's instead of focusing on being smaller, I'm like, you know what? I really don't sleep well. What I want to focus on that one thing. So a big thing we work on with our ladies is single habits at a time until they become actual, like single tasks until they become habits.
Yep.
And so that small incorporation, I have a gal, I love the story, but we started with a habit of just, she was like, I want to get better at flossing. We didn't start talking about losing weight and all the things. We did initially, but then like one of our first habits was like flossing. And she, to this day, like months later, flosses now twice a day, and it's a part of her everyday life. But what she told me is that it took the mindset around, like, instead of always focusing on the scale, that proverbial, like, drag it along ball and chain, she had something else to focus on, something that was moving her body in a healthy direction, her mouth, her teeth, whatever. And it's a small addition, but it's stacked. And she's like, okay, now that's a habit. Like, what else can I do? Okay, now I'm going to focus on adding in an extra serving of veggies. Or now I'm going to focus. And so those little like wins, she was able to shift her mindset away from, that's not me. I'll never be, you know, I can't be that stronger girl. And gosh, I wish I was smaller. Now it's, oh, okay, I was really successful in this one thing. Now what else can I do? Okay, I did this thing too. Okay, now what else can I do? And so that to me has been the best attack method for shifting their mindsets around that the need to be smaller, the focus on the scale. And I actually have some women I'm saying, please go tell your husband to throw your scale away, or your daughter, tell, you know, throw the scale. I don't want it in your house anymore, because I don't want them focusing on that number. I don't want them focusing on that as the primary source. And it really gives breathing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. We do something very similar in that we have a personal growth habit tracker, which is basically like just a journal. And they write down basically what they did when it comes to sleep, hydration, protein intake, fiber, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end of the week, it's basically just the question of, okay, these are all the things you did this week. What do you want to do? What do you want to improve on? Just choose one and improve on that one thing. And there was somebody I was working with a few months ago that was really struggling because she had all these mindset issues from a previous program, that the previous program was basically like, you've got to be on point. You've got to be perfect. Basically. I think there was like a 40 calorie variance where they were like, you can go off by this much, but if you go off any more, then you're in trouble. So the end result for her was that she was so focused on being perfect that if she wasn't, she would like go off the rails. So one day I was like, you know what? Don't focus, forget about all the past stuff. Just focus on what do you want to get better at? And she said, I want to get better at getting my steps in. I said, great, we're going to focus on just that. That's literally the only thing we're going to do. And I could literally see the stress melt off her face. And she lost 5 pounds in the next 2 weeks, simply because I think she wasn't stressed about it. She was just like, I know what to improve. I'm going to work on that thing. And the stress was decreased and her body rewarded her for that. And that's just a huge thing that if people realized, you know what, I'm in the driver's seat. I can control what things I do and don't want to improve. Then man, the decreased mental energy that then has to go into everything else is unreal.
It is. And to understand that you don't have to do it all, you know,
yep.
And you don't have to do it all right all the time. Like it's impossible. It's not sustainable. And that really does give that, like you said, that breathing room, that kind of moment. And just like I was mentioning earlier, especially at this stage of life for ladies, cortisol, if our stress levels are staying, if we're in that fight or flight mode all the time, because, and look, an exercise and diet program regimen can be a cortisol elevator and not in a positive way. If like this gal you're talking about, like if it's so stressful, all of the things that you're having to do, it's one step forward and two steps. You're not going to get where you want to go. Yeah. That's a really good point to make. I love that.
Now, just got a couple questions left for you. And we were talking, just to go back to what we were just talking about. We were talking earlier about, before we got on here, just about similar things in our businesses. So I resonate very deeply with people that are like, oh, I can't do all the things, because I feel that way when it comes to business management. Like, man, there's just so many things I can do. And I even had the realization, and we talked about this before we jumped into talking about women and their struggles, but I had this realization that, you know what, I've got to throw out basically everything and focus on like two or three things, and everything else just not even going to care about it. And I saw the benefits of that as well. So totally different context, but really the same exact idea.
Sure.
But back down to our last two questions. When women get to the end of your program, end of their time working with you, what are some things that you are careful to communicate to them in order to make all the work that they've put in and all the changes that they've made permanent? Because one of the concerns that women have is, you know, I've done all these things in the past and I made progress, but it didn't stick. So what are some things that when they leave your program, they can be confident that, hey, that's not going to happen again. I'm set up for the long haul here.
Yeah. The first one that really comes to mind is consistency. And I tried really hard to like think of another word, because I feel like that word is kind of browbeaten a little bit.
Yep.
And it's all I got. Consistency. And I don't mean like perfection. Like we mentioned this a minute ago, right? I don't mean perfection every day by any means. It's not possible at all. What I mean is getting off of that sprint and puke cycle of you know, oh, I've got, you know, a Cabo trip in June. I've got to hustle my, you know, tushy off to like lose this weight really fast. And then I'm going to spend a week on the beach and I'm going to gain it all back. Hundreds. And even then, probably some more. Now, maybe not in a week, but the habits are going to be gone because it's not a consistent, you haven't put yourself into a place of consistency.
Yep.
And so allowing your body to learn what the place of homeostasis feels like, and what that is not having these, you know, 2500 calorie day, and then I did really bad that day, so now I'm going to eat 800 the next day, or starving all week and binging on the weekends, or, you know, 2 week, you know, a 3 week, like quote unquote juice cleanse, and then, you know, going to pub or whatever. Getting your body out of that place and allowing it to be refed well and consistently for a solid amount of time. And everybody's body a little different, depending on where you're coming from. But that's a good first step that we always make sure that women are in that place. And it is amazing how much better they feel in general. And so once they've experienced that, they're like, oh, okay, all right, now we can move the needle maybe on fat loss or whatever. But we work on consistency day to day versus them being in this like all or nothing mindset every other day or every other week or every other month. That to me is the one habit that once that really becomes ingrained in not even just their willingness, but it's just ingrained in who they are, that's what I find they carry with them the longest, the after the fact. They've now experienced their own ability to be consistent with something, right? And it's not being forced. It's just natural. They actually want to move, or they know they can now focus on one thing at a time and do that one thing consistent. I had a lady I was talking to the other day. She said, it was funny, we're talking about steps. And she said, you know, I found I kind of got away from that. And then I remembered, oh, I really want to get better at that again. And she just on her own started tracking her steps again. She's like, yeah, and it was great. And it gave me one single thing to focus on because her work was like very overwhelming. But she took that nugget of understanding what consistent was and was able to incorporate it a year and a half after we worked together, right? Yep. So consistency to me is probably the biggest piece of that. And I think to that willingness in a mindset willingness to make a shift, make that change, it's embracing maybe that slowing down, taking yourself out of that go, 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 like you mentioned, especially for women at this stage, because sometimes, well, more often than not, go, go, go and push, push, push is actually not moving us in the right direction.
Yep.
So willingness to take a step back and see it from a different perspective. And once that visual of my body is different now, I want to treat it differently, I want to work with it differently, they see that. Now they have that willingness and readiness to like make a different shift and change in their moving forward. And so having them take that step back, lowering kind of lowering the internal stressors, can always deal with the external stressors, unfortunately, also really help with the mindset readiness around moving where they want to go or staying in that place of, okay, this is how I'm going to function moving forward, right? And I'm not going to go back to this rant and puke method that I used to do in my 20s and 30s. So,
yeah. And, you know, that's awesome. And teaching the people the principles of how they can get where they want to be and how to be consistent in those habits. Because I know for me, like last year, a lot of things happened, like with family, with work, with all kinds of things. Like there was a period of time in my life last year where things were just, it felt like chaos. And as a result, I did put on some weight. But the good news is that I knew the exact steps to take to get there, where I wanted to be again. And the lessons that you learn through being consistent over a long period of time, even if you're not perfect, there's going to be periods of your life where things just, it feels like they just go in the toilet, right?
Yeah.
But then afterwards, you can step back and go, okay, but now I know because of my time with Coach Claire or whoever helped you, I know how to get back. And then you can just work on that consistency and get back to exactly where you want to be. You know, lastly, I'm going to kind of ask you this question and leave it as a blank check. If there is anything that we haven't talked about today that you, Coach Claire, would want to communicate to women who are in the perimenopausal, menopausal stage of life, what would that like one big thing be, the most important thing that you would want them to remember from the conversation today?
I would say that this stage of life doesn't need to be this hush hush, you know, embarrassing, oh, I'm moving this phase of life. It embrace the beauty of it, embrace the hormone shifts and changes. And I know that's much easier said than done, but if you can embrace it from a place of, all right, it's different, but it's not a death sentence. It's different, but it doesn't mean I am, you know, being put out to pasture. I don't have anything left in me. That is so far from the truth. If anything, you now, girl, you have been through so much of life. And if you look back on the things that you have been through in your life, look at the things you've overcome, whether you've had kids, whether you've had a career, whether you have, you know, major life things that have occurred, losses, you know, whatever it is, all the things you've gone through have made, there is an inner badass in you that has made you, gotten you to this place in time that you've overcome all these things. All right. So know that you are beyond, you're stronger than you think, and that you're beyond capable of embracing this new stage of life and doing it. I'm going to say it, doing it like a badass. All right. And know that there is so much support out there. So get connected, please, whether it's with me, with Bryce, with someone that you know, get the support that you need, but just know that this stage of life is a beautiful, beautiful next chapter of your life. And you are going to see, you're going to be so proud of yourself as you move through that. If you can really take the moment to like embrace, like, all right, it's going to be a little different, but it's going to be amazing.
And I love that frame. It's different and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
what else can we do? Right. When things change in life, life happens and stuff is the way it is, but what can I do about it? What is in my control? And take control of those things. But I kind of lied. That wasn't the last question. Last question is, if somebody wants to reach out to you and get in contact with you, what would be the most effective way to do that?
Sure. So you can just shoot me an email, claire@freetobemejourney.com. And then you can also find me on Instagram at trainer.claire. And yeah, feel free to send me a DM, shoot me an email. I would love to connect with you. If you are a gentleman listening to this and you have a lady in your life that, you know, feel like could really benefit from some resources, I'm happy to share anything and everything I can. I really just want, I want women to get what they need to move forward in life and be fulfilled and smile more and actually look at themselves in the dang mirror and say, okay, girl, you got this.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so I'll put your email address down in the show notes below so that anybody can just click on that and get sent right to your email and leave you a message and hopefully benefit from all the knowledge that you have to offer. So with all that being said, Claire, thank you very much for your time today. It was awesome having you here, and we'll stay in touch and look forward to speaking to you next time.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Bryce. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the listeners out there. Y'all have a good one.
Oh, we have something brand new. We just released our Lose Fat Like Crazy ebook. And in that ebook, you receive the answers to the 7 most common questions that our clients come to us asking, and their answers that, when implemented, will allow your body to start releasing fat right away. In addition to that, there's also a bonus of 50 macro-friendly recipes so that we've done all the heavy lifting for you. You don't have to think about which macros will fit into which meals. We've basically handed you the keys. So go down to the show notes below, click on the link, Lose Fat Like Crazy ebook, and download your copy today.